ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 of Chicago with a live studio audience! Woo! Whoa, what a live studio audience, and we have a very exciting podcast for you. Getting ready for Pesach. Yes, we are rocking a Project 613 with a... We just had great class last week. We have a YouTube channel. I don't know if people know this. Project 613, if you go to your YouTube and Google it, the class is up, and it's a mix of, you know, facts, details, practical, but also some great ideas, and I highly recommend it. We had a wonderful time last Wednesday. We're continuing this week, this Wednesday, coming up April 2nd. If you know young professionals who'd like to prepare for Passover, we would love to have them in our downtown center, 6 o'clock dinner, 6:30. The wisdom begins. We actually do something very fun right before Passover. We have a study session with a tremendous amount of facts and details and all sorts of amazing data and important information about Pesach. And then we have a Kahoot game. And we usually sweeten the deal with some, gift cards or prizes for the top three winners. Anyway, we're looking forward to our big Kahoot Passover extraordinaire this coming Wednesday. Now, I do have to throw out a fun fact, and it may frame a little bit of the podcast today. I got, I mentioned this faithful follower often. I got a wonderful text message from Vinny Pine. Yes, Vinny, I don't know where you are. He's usually like in Vietnam or China or all over the place. But wherever you are, thank you. He sent me a tweet, it was some sort of someone posting it, that quite remarkable that the three out of the four number one ranked teams in March Madness, because I was going to do a podcast, March Madness and the whole thing, but I decided not to this year. Maybe next year, we'll see. But three out of the four number one seeds going into March Madness, the head coaches are Jewish. Now, one who has gained much, to his credit, fame, for stepping up and become a true leader among Jews who've quote-unquote made it in the secular world to stand loud and proud that you're Jewish is the Auburn University basketball coach Bruce Pearl, which in this tweet has him with tefillin on the basketball court. And after his Sweet 16 victory, I posted this on our WhatsApp updates group for Project 613, a minute 37 of delicious material, where he basically said that God has put them in this position and given them a platform so they could remind everyone that there are still Jewish hostages in Gaza. One of them, an American, Idan Alexander. And it was just unbelievable. He said he asked his players to do it, if he could, and he did. So keep a tip to Bruce Pearl. In addition, Duke University, John Shire. Okay, there's a nice GBN, Glenbrook North fame, and then played at Duke, and his professional career sadly was cut short due to a finger in the eye that he never quite recovered from. I think he played in Israel for a little bit, but he has come and has really taken control of the Duke University program after Coach K. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the sports part will end shortly. University of Florida, who I did not know, this is the one I did not know, Todd Golden. Okay, so there you have. And the tweet that I have over here says Mensch Madness. That's pretty funny. Well, it turns out, guess what? As a matter of a few moments ago, all three of them have made it to the Final Four. In fact, it's the first time in many years that all four number one seeds are making it to the final. I heard that next week they're going to be doing you know, Havdalah on Saturday night when these games are played after Shabbos. Oh, well, maybe not. Okay, but anyway, these Jewish coaches have certainly made it, and it actually makes a lot of sense. Jews have never been known for their brawn, although we have some accomplishments in sports, no doubt, but we have much more accomplishments in our brains and in running these teams. So it's no surprise, but it certainly is concentrated. So keep a tip to those three, and may you all use your platform well. Which brings us to Passover, to Pesach. And, you know, if you go to, as I do, many Jewish functions, I go to all types, all levels of religiosity, meeting people, connecting people, finding out what they do, sharing what I do. And there's a common theme from the speaker, and I would almost bet money on, it doesn't matter what type of Jewish event it is, the expression L'dor v'dor will be mentioned. Yes, L'dor v'dor, from generation to generation, to generation to generation, literally, is L'dor v'dor, to one generation to the next. But it's translated in English most likely, most of the time, as from generation to generation. And why is that so significant? Because that is Pesach. This is the night. One of the 613 commandments itself is on the night of Passover. Again, there's only 630 commandments, and one of them is time-bound literally to the first night of Passover. Now, we continue that the second night of Passover outside of the land of Israel, but in the land of Israel, there's only one Seder. Can you believe that? And therefore, what is this mitzvah? This mitzvah is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story of Egypt. Now, it's not the twice daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the Exodus from Egypt. And that's what we do when we say the Kriyat Shema. We say the Shema prayer, the declaration of our faith, both in the morning and in the evening. We combine. We have two times where we remember, we have a little check-the-box remembrance twice a day that God took us out of Egypt. But there's one night where we download the entire story and we drill it in, we sear it in to our neshamas, to our souls, and that is the night of the Seder. That is why the Seder goes long, is because it's not enough just to check the box, you know, on a regular day, on March 30th, you know, in the morning and the evening, you check the box. It's important. You remember God took us out of Egypt. We were slaves. We never would have gotten out. We owe everything, our entire existence, to the Almighty. And as a result of that, we have a deep, intimate relationship with the Almighty of obligation to be His people. That is the message of Egypt. He did not redeem us to go out and put our feet up and just chill out. Certainly the non-Jews recognize that we are the PR spokespeople for the CEO of the universe. It's incumbent upon us to do it. So every day we check the box in the morning, we check the box at night. But the night of Seder, we download this message that we are God's people, and we go through the whole thing all the way back from Abraham down to Egypt, serving idols, being oppressed in Egypt, and every part of the redemption of God saving us and taking us out of Egypt. And right towards the heart of the Haggadah, we quote four psukim, four verses of the Torah. And it goes through basically a synopsis of the leaving of Egypt. And it is actually really, really, really powerful. And what happens? So it starts off talking about Arami Overavi. There was an Aramean that attempted to destroy my father. Does that sound familiar? Well, that Aramean was Yaakov, was Lavan. Laban, Lavan, we'll call him Lavan. It's written Laban in English translations, but his name in Hebrew is Lavan. And he tried to destroy Yaakov. The question is, how did he do it? He had him in his home. Lavan had Yaakov and his whole family in his home. and therefore he tried day by day to influence him, to get him to leave his values, to come become an idolater, to leave his faith in God. It was an inside job. Let's put it that way. And the Vilna Gaon says something absolutely amazing. He says that everything, well, this is a famous statement by the Ramban, Nachmanides, that everything that happens to our forefathers and foremothers is a sign and a template for future things to come. And the Vilna Gaon in that same vein says that Lavan's attempt to destroy Yaakov is instructive at the Seder because it served as a blueprint, a siman labanim, a sign for the children, the descendants of Yaakov. That's us. That Yaakov left Lavan's home after many years of serving him with wealth, and Lavan hotly pursued him. So would be the Jewish people leaving Egyptian servitude with riches, and Pharaoh would give chase. This is the model, is that they have tried to destroy us internally, and then when we escape, they chase after us and try to destroy us physically. And right before we quote that verse in the Haggadah, we have one of the most famous prayers, which is called V'chisha Amda. V'chisha Amda is that every generation, and this is where we're going to get to the title of our podcast, in every generation that the Almighty has stood up for us, God's promise. V'chi is feminine in Hebrew for those grammarians. And V'chi refers to the haftacha, the promise that God will make us an eternal nation, that no matter how much they try to destroy us, God will protect us. He will rescue us from their hand. There's the song that we have sung for generations, the song since October 7th that has been playing on nonstop loop and will be playing again this Pesach as well. And look into the language of this beautiful, powerful prayer. It says, Ela shebechol dor vador, in every generation, om dim aleinu lechalosena, they stand up to us to destroy us. Bechol dor vador. Shebechol dor vador, in every generation, they stand up to us to destroy us. V'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam, but Hashem saves us from their hands. Now, Rav Chaim Berlin, a great sage of the 19th century, says an unbelievable thing, that why is dor vador mentioned twice? Dor vador is mentioned twice to emphasize that there are two methods that our enemies employ to destroy us. One is to persecute us and torture us, and the other one is to use friendship and love in an attempt to assimilate us. The non-Jews have two basic strategies. They either beat us to death or they love us to death. There's either the physical Auschwitz or there's Michigan Avenue. Well, Michigan Avenue is pretty famous and fancy. You come here, or there's, I don't know, I grew up Knob Hill. I don't know, a lot of it was owned by Jews. And in San Francisco, you name your fancy place, Manhattan. How much of Manhattan is owned by Jews? Okay? The non-Jews have two strategies in their playbooks. One is to beat us to death, and one is to love us to death. And sadly, we've seen that if we could look back in Jewish history, as many times as the non-Jews have wiped us out physically with persecutions and pogroms and inquisitions and expulsions and ghettos, and shall I continue? You get the idea. It's never as successful as when they hug us to death. Right now in America, you're looking at maybe 5 million Jews. That's not even asking, you know, okay, it's not even asking who's really Jewish, this, then. I identify as a Jew. I don't know. I identify as a purple elephant. Okay, so we count them. Count everyone. So maybe there's a drop more than 5 million. Do you know how many Jews there were at the beginning of the 20th century, 1900? 6 million. Do you know how many Jews there should be in America right now? There should be like 24, 25 million based on normal natural patterns. Where are they? They're assimilated. They are praying in churches or mosques or are secular people in America, but they're gone. They're gone. And if our enemies would really get it and they really want to destroy us, they would try the nice approach. Because we, sadly, we Jews sometimes, and we use a word, I'm sorry to say it, we're suckers for a good hug. When the non-Jews finally say, oh, you can come join us, somehow all of our defenses melt down. We'll have stories in Auschwitz of secular Jews, you know, they're like risking their lives to bake matzahs and to, you know, fast on Yom Kippur. These are people that outside of Auschwitz would never do anything like that. But you try to take the Jewish identity away from a Jew and it fires us up. But sadly, when the non-Jews embrace us with their embrace, seemingly lovingly, but with the goal, ultimately, either consciously or subconsciously, the Jews' defense mechanism is down. And we see, sadly, Lador Vador is weakening in America in particular. And sadly, we've talked about this in the podcast this past year and a half, how so many Jews abandoned their people in terms of this, the brutal Hamas attack, and are protesting against Israel on campus. And many of the leaders of these encampments are Jewish. You know why? Because a Jew is an idealistic creature and needs an idealism to attach itself to. And if we don't educate them positively how awesome it is to be Jewish, guess what? They're going to be the head of the encampments. There's black or white. There's only two ways for a Jew. We are going to be the leaders. We're either going to be leading the Jewish clubs on campus and in my young professional Jewish communities, or we're going to be the head of the Palestinians. I'm telling you, you see it. Because a Jew is an idealistic creature, it's very difficult for a Jew to sit by the sidelines. And so on the Passover night, when we say, Shebechol dor vadorum dinaleinu lachal oseinu, that in every generation they stand up to wipe us out, we know that this is not theoretical. It's happening right now. There's no Auschwitz, there's no train tracks, there's no Wannsee Conference, there's no Cossacks. There's no Spanish Inquisition or expulsion. The Catholic Church is being even slightly nice to us. After 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of torture and brutality in the name of their religion, they'll have to stand in judgment for that. They don't need me to judge them. It's happening now. It's live. It's current events. And so when you get to this part of the Seder, make it real. If you're leading a Seder, or if you're not leading a Seder, just attending a Seder, there's this V'hi Sha'amda prayer, and you'll see it. We raise our glass there. We give a toast. We give a Yeshar Koach. We give a L'chaim to Hashem. And we said, Hashem, only you are the one to save us. You are the one who stood up against all of our enemies time and time again. And sometimes that even means waking up we Jews who are slumbering in an unpleasant way. Maybe, just maybe, this is the moment, a year and a half past October 7th, that this is the right time to talk, have a real genuine discussion in your Seder, for your Dor Vador, for the children, the grandchildren, the people at your Seder. What does it mean to be a Jew? And maybe use this not to leave the script of the Haggadah, but to use it as a bouncing off point, a jumping off point, a springboard. What analogy am I looking for? A diving board, a springboard. That's what I was looking for. To discuss, what does it mean to be Jewish? And why are there so many Jews who are pro-Palestinian and fighting against our people? And what is it going to take for us to plug in? And the first step is that everyone with whom you'll be speaking showed up. They showed up to the Passover Seder, and that's amazing. And to strengthen them for doing that and to give them a big high five, the first step is showing up. But that's not enough. We got to show up and we got to stand up. We got to learn how precious it is to be Jewish. We're not just Jewish because they don't like us. They don't like us for a reason, because we stand for something. We are the PR agents of the CEO of the universe. We're the barometers, the touchstone of morality in the world, among humanity. That's what we've always been. It's a tremendous joy and pride to be Jewish. And that's what we got to leave our satyrs with. And whatever it takes for you listening to this, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're a leader at your satyr. If you're technically leading it or not, they have to leave the satyr pumped up. I'm proud to be Jewish. There's nothing better than being Jewish. And then the job is to find out why. And that's the work post-Seder to the next Seder. God willing, L'dor v'dor won't just be a hollow rally call. It will be an actual fulfillment of the lessons of the Haggadah to continue to grow the great connection from Abraham all the way to Mount Sinai, from leaving Egypt to Mount Sinai, down to wherever we are today, that it is such a blessing, a privilege, an honor to be a member of the Jewish people. God bless. Have an amazing Pesach. I believe we'll be back next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.